Our daily discussion of the great questions of life and death concluded yesterday with some information about the beliefs of the famous Protestant reformer Martin Luther. We at Atlanta Bible College believe that the study of church history contributes much to our understanding of the great teachings of the Bible. In these programs, we've been searching for answers as to what happens to us at the moment of death. We have combed the biblical information from cover to cover and found that sleep is the usual description of the state of man in death, and resurrection scores of times is called waking up from sleep. This hardly sounds like the popular idea that the dead are already blissfully conscious in heaven in the presence of God, or alternatively being tormented in hell forever. One interesting way of confirming our findings is to see what some of the leading Protestant reformers said about what happens when we die. Martin Luther is a great hero of Bible-believing Americans. According to scholars who have studied Luther's voluminous writings, Luther, and I quote, was inclined to adopt the theory of the sleep of the soul, end of quotation, in which the soul does not know where it is until the judgment day. So says Paul Althaus, a leading scholar of Luther. Another expert on Martin Luther says this: in general, Luther understands the interval between death and the resurrection as deep, dreamless sleep without consciousness and feeling. When the dead are woken up at judgment day, then, just like when we wake up in the morning, they know neither where they were nor how long they've been resting. End of quotation. Luther's conclusions are entirely reasonable when all the evidence of the Bible is marshaled. Unfortunately, this simple view of death as sleep is not always popular. Sometimes even a campaign has been waged against it, and various labels have been given it, like sectarian or cultish. But is it fair to accuse Martin Luther of holding a cult view of the state of the dead? Hardly. Nor should we underestimate the marvelous Christian witness of the British reformer William Tyndale, who was martyred for his faith. Tyndale, as is well known by historians, protested against the unbiblical idea that souls go immediately to heaven when they die. For Tyndale and Luther and scores of other scholars from all the different Christian groups, death means falling asleep with no prospect of coming out of the sleep of death until the whole man is resurrected when Christ comes back. The idea that you can go to be with Christ as a soul deprived of its body is entirely outside the range of the Bible. It's based on Greek philosophy, which has no business in biblical circles. Belief in the philosophical notion of an immortal part of us, an immortal soul which just keeps going on after we die, has terribly weakened our whole understanding of life after death. There's an urgent need for this whole subject to be reviewed. No longer should resurrection be confused with the moment of our death. The real center of interest in the early Christian church is the return of Christ to reign on the earth. As a leading Bible scholar of this century warned us, heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying. But that is not the impression I gained growing up in the church and listening to sermons, including sermons at funerals. What I and thousands of others seemed to glean from our church experience was that man at death did not really die. He just moved to heaven or hell. The surviving relatives of those who had died were constantly comforted with the promise that the dead were already in bliss in heaven. Everything is to be gained by examining the Bible to find out what it has to say about death. In my own experience, searching the Bible for answers has been a most rewarding adventure. Initially, however, it was shocking to find that some of our most cherished traditional ideas simply have no basis in the Scriptures. Did Jesus really promise his followers a disembodied existence in heaven the moment they died? My own research has soon uncovered the important fact that the Bible nowhere ever hints that life after death is to be enjoyed as a soul in heaven. Just pick up a standard dictionary of the Bible. Let me give you an example. Under the entry on heaven in the famous dictionary of the Apostolic Church, I read the following: heaven as the future abode of the believers. This conception is conspicuous by its absence from Paul's thought. End of quotation. The dictionary went on to inform me that according to Paul, the second coming means that Jesus is going to return from heaven, not that we are going to heaven. I seem to have learned something in church which was the opposite of the New Testament teaching about life after death. According to the Bible, Jesus is coming back to the earth. According to what I had learned, I was supposed to go off to Jesus in heaven. All this was most puzzling. How could our tradition be so out of line with the Bible? I looked up the various passages cited by the Bible dictionary, and sure enough, the evidence was overwhelming. What Bible Christians were looking forward to was the return of Jesus from heaven. No text spoke of the believers going to heaven. The words of the Cambridge Bible scholar appeared to be right on target when he said, "Heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying." Turning to 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, I found a very clear statement about the Christian hope for the future. Paul spoke of the church, and I quote, "waiting expectantly for the appearance from heaven of God's Son Jesus, Jesus whom God raised from the dead, and who will deliver us from the terrors of judgment to come." That's 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10 in the New English Bible. Did Paul ever abandon this idea of the future? Absolutely not. In one of his latest letters, when he wrote to the Philippians, Paul was still expecting the return of Jesus. "We Christians," Paul said in Philippians 3:20 and 21, "are a colony of heaven, and from heaven we expect our deliverer to come, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transfigure the body belonging to our humble state and give it a form like that of his own resplendent body." There it is quite clearly. Our hope is for Jesus to come back from heaven. Nothing is said about us going to heaven. Jesus will come back and give immortality to the Christians who have died and to those who are living at that time. And what will happen then? Jesus had given a strikingly simple answer. He promised the meek that they would inherit the earth, Matthew 5, verse 5. A little investigation of the Bible will reveal that it's most interested in the future of this planet. That's why the Bible dictionary had said, "Heaven as the abode of the dead was conspicuous by its absence in the writings of Paul." The same dictionary suggested that Paul, and I quote, "took it for granted that believers will have their part in the messianic kingdom on the earth." So much so that he did not need to mention it all the time, end of quotation. My personal investigation of life after death was becoming intriguing. It was only when I consulted the dictionaries of the Bible and the best commentaries that I seemed to get reliable information about what the Bible actually taught. What I heard from sermons was quite different. The standard idea about going to heaven as a soul was propagated everywhere. But the Bible and the Bible dictionaries even admitted that heaven going was absent from the Christian documents. Imagine my shock when I began to explore what early Christians had believed shortly after the time of the apostles. Did they subscribe to the idea that the afterlife was an immediate presence with Christ at death in heaven? Clearly not. Listen to the words of this Christian writer in the middle of the second century, just 100 years after the time of Jesus. I quote, "If you have fallen in with some who claim to be believers in Christ and who say that there's no resurrection but that their souls when they die go to heaven, do not believe that they're really following Christ." An amazing statement. Apparently, for that second century Christian, the idea that souls go to heaven before the resurrection was a strange, not to say dangerous, idea. And yet today that idea is almost universal amongst churchgoers. Something obviously has happened to alter the way we think about life after death. Jesus' own view of the Christian future is beautifully summarized in his promise given in the Sermon on the Mount. Christ here defines for us what it means to inherit the kingdom of heaven. We shall see immediately that the kingdom of heaven does not mean the kingdom in heaven. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, verses 3 and 5. "How blessed are those who know their need for God. The kingdom of heaven is to be theirs. How blessed are those of gentle spirit. They shall have the earth as their possession." So you see, the kingdom of heaven is defined there as the earth. And the earth is what the Christians are going to inherit after the resurrection. All this was absolutely fundamental to Jesus and the apostles. The plain fact is that Jesus and the Christians of the Bible did not neglect the Old Testament as we often do. Jesus knew from early childhood what the objective of the Christian life is. He had read Psalm 37, which spelled out the Christian hope in terms which can hardly be misunderstood. Psalm 37, 7 through 9, exhorts us to, and I quote, "Wait for the Lord, be patient till he comes. Evildoers will be destroyed, but they who hope in the Lord will possess the earth or the land." In verse 11, the psalmist penned the words which Jesus quoted in the Sermon on the Mount. "The humble shall possess the land and enjoy untold prosperity." And then in verse 20, "The wicked shall perish like fuel in a furnace. They are consumed in smoke." And in verse 28, "The lawless are banished forever, and the children of the wicked are destroyed. The righteous shall possess the land or the earth, and shall live there at peace forever." Now look at verse 34. "Wait for the Lord and hold to his way. He will keep you safe from wicked men and will raise you to be master of the land or the earth. I was quoting there from the New English Bible in Psalm 37. Not a word here about going to heaven. Quite clearly, the Bible's view of the future is that the faithful are destined to live in the earth, and as verse 34 of Psalm 37 said, to be master of the earth. The picture is unmistakably clear. What the Bible promises is endless life on this planet, the earth renewed and restored. Listen to the wonderful words of Peter as he reassured his audience that Jesus is coming back to restore the earth. I quote, "Heaven must retain the Messiah," Peter said in Acts 3:21, "until the time comes for the restoration of all things about which the prophets spoke from ancient times." Our Bible scholar was right when he said that heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying. Our Christian destination is in fact to be resurrected to life in the coming kingdom of God on earth. It may be that some of this material is new to you. Contact us at the address given at the end of this broadcast for some free literature. Meanwhile, join us again next time as we continue our search for answers in the Bible to the great questions of life and death. Until then, may God bless you in your quest for truth.